General Meeting, Columbus, Kentucky, September 1974. Gospel by John Lloyd.
Dear ones, tonight I'm very thankful. I'm able to be back here tonight once again to try to tell out the wondrous story. Yes, try to die for sin. No, it's not a bad thing to be a sinner. At all. If you weren't a sinner, you wouldn't have a Savior. Angels don't have a Savior. But poor, lost, and undone sinners have a Savior. But it's wonderful to be a Savior. Yeah. I want to thank the men. Began with the trade farm. Through my last fellow sickness. And those that sent me cards and letters, yes, sure appreciate it. Don't know how it helped at a time like that. So look to the Lord, and I might be raised up and continue to tell out the good news. Tell out the good news. So tonight, I'll try once again to speak to you. Sure glad to be over. Sure glad. I want to read to you one verse. And that's from Romans 3. Romans 3. All of us know the verse, many of us, by our heart. But it's a verse. Certainly stands out. The word is very short. 3:23. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God loved this world, ruined sin, give us a Savior. I don't know this first thought, but I just had it on my heart. I want to tell you a little bit. That is, many years ago, before the beginning of World War II, we lived on Shore Avenue, and our next door neighbor to us was a bootlegger. Now, of course, which is legal in Rome, Georgia now, don't have any bootleggers. Bootleggers is an old, terrible little down home. Yeah. But, my neighbor, that. But as time went on, he was bootlegger to the neighbor. Oh, he tends to don't beat because he don't shoot any beers. So, I come to know him, and I talk to him, spoke to him about the Lord. It's a good thing he did. But at the same time, his wife came up. She passed in front of where they were back to the building. And they got acquainted, and so she stopped in. I talked to her about the Lord. Spoke to her about the Lord. This has been some 30 years ago. Well, one night, he drank his own whiskey. Got drunk on his own whiskey. He died. No, he just speaks of wake up dead. What is that? Woke up dead next morning. Where is that? I don't know. Well, before I come up to him, of course we went down and spoke to her. And she come up and said, boy, I asked Brother Broom to take his funeral. I would like to ask you to help him if you would. Well, that was quite a shake to me. I never had to reach the funeral. And him being a bootlegger, the whole town knew about it. When I went to talk to the Lord about telling out the gospel, I asked him to open the doors for me to give me the opportunity. Well, I thought this was one of the opportunities. Well, I said, well, ain't much I can do, lady, but I'll do the best I can. She said, well, I certainly would appreciate it if you talk to me. And ma'am was named Young. So I knew this man. She asked to preach his funeral. He had been a Baptist preacher. I knew him well. He was a barber. I went over to see him. He knew me. He cut my hair many a time. He told him, that's all right, brother. All right. You just come right on. And said, we'll make it all right. He said, I'll get you. Yeah. Well, I felt a little better about that. So when we got over to the funeral home, we find out there was a tremendous crowd of people. He was not a man wrapped up a bootleg of his own. He retailed it, but it was again. He didn't wholesale it either. So he and the officers of the law, folks like that was there. They come from a respectable family. Well, folks, that scared me worse, you know. And so I looked to the Lord and talked to the Lord about what to do, what I could use and all. I want to try and tell you what this man read. He didn't read my scripture, but I want to say it to you. He really preached the gospel. He really preached the gospel. Why the Baptist church ever disinherited him, I don't know. But he sure preached the gospel. Now we'll turn to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now read it. What do you read? In his time, I saw this. So then, it comes to mind. Beginning in verse 1 of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there was a present at the season some that told him of the Galileans, whom blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such a thing? I tell you nay, or no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now there was another group asked him, another question, similar to the same thing. Are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now they asked the Lord Jesus here two pointed questions. They looked at these people. Now, just exactly what this was here in the beginning, suppose these Galileans could have been godly people. Well, you know, Pilate no doubt the one that's there, says Pilate, yeah. Pilate had mingled their blood with their sacrifices. Well, then, no doubt this is the same Pilate that pronounced the sentence upon our blessed Lord and be crucified. Pilate was a monarch. Pilate was an absolute ruler. Just the same as Herod was when that little girl danced up there and satisfied Herod, you know. And Herod said, now, anything you ask, I'm going to give you. Well, of course, Herod got a surprise, but he stuck to it. He said, I want the head of John the Baptist on the chart. Well, what did he do? Did he have a trial about that? Did he see it? Oh, no, he just sent down there somewhere in a prison house and they brought the head up there. Oh, yes, that's the time they lived on. Yes, sure did. No doubt he was the same one. He didn't like these folks, no doubt. I don't know why. Scripture doesn't tell. So, But the name of the blood for the sacrifice. Well, the sacrifice is different types of animals and things. That's terrible, isn't it? That's hideous. Now the Lord says, you think these Galileans were more bitter sinners than any of the other Galileans? Well, that's the question asked here. No doubt they'd ask the Lord, well, do you think these folks were worse and they had this coming to them? Well, I know people come down to hear that hymn of that bootlegger, but they really heard the gospel. They really heard the gospel. Was that bootlegger any bigger sinner than many, no doubt, that heard the gospel there? God said, all have sinned and come short. That's what it says. Come short of what? The presence of God. It says the glory of God. Where's the glory of God? It's in God's presence. That's what it says. Sin is what keeps you shut out from God. No. Now, I've used this illustration many a time, and it's very useful to use in the jail. Now, to each one of them lights that's going right up there, each one of them lights, there's two wires going to them. And a little bit of wire. Now, you can take them wires and pull them that wire apart, and that light will go out. Sure will. Well, you can pull it back halfway, and it's still out. You can pull it on back there, and it's still out. You can pull it on back there, and it's still out. Well, what's wrong with that wire? It's short. You can pull that wire 10,000 of an inch out of there. Just makes no difference how good it is. It's still out. That's right. It has to have a contact. Why the wire's too short? Now, it makes no difference how good we live, how upright we live, how decent we live, how well we treat the neighbor. That's all right in itself. That'll keep you out of jail, but won't get you in heaven. We're talking about going to heaven tonight. So, you'll come short. Yeah. So that's what the Lord is saying. God doesn't measure sin by the size or the distance or the length of it at all. When God sin is sin, and he says, all, you can all in. You mean that he's with me? That's what Joe Sample used to say. You mean that he's with me? Sure is. Sure is. Some 40-some odd years ago, I found out it included John Lumley, too. Sure did. I found out I was going down the road. But isn't it wonderful we sung that hymn? God has provided us things this morning. God has provided a way that we can escape going down to a devil's hell. I just read in Matthew's gospel, we had it in our reading meeting, and I read a writer on it. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God never did prepare hell for man. Not at all. There's no question about it. The angels fell, disobeyed God willfully long before man ever fell. Sure did. And God picked the place for them. Now, but God has provided glory for you and I. For poor lost sinners. Man disobeyed God and he fell. His sin becomes short. Come short. It makes no difference how short it was. It's short, it's just short. It's all it is to it. So, God has provided a link there, something to fill that up. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. Yes, he gave us the blessed Savior. And how we thank God that he has provided a Savior for us. Now then, they talk about the Galileans. Then they turn around, they weren't satisfied with that answer. Well, you know, a lot of people ask about things, about being saved, and how to be saved. They're not satisfied with that answer. They turn around and ask you another, you know, and just twist the knot tighter. That's all they do. So they say to them, are those 18? It was a crowd of them, weren't it? 18? are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Well, I no doubt this was a rock tower in Jerusalem. It's there, that. Back in those days, they made everything out of rocks. Just what this thing's used for, I don't know, but I guess somebody would get up and look around and see if the enemy's coming. I don't know. But back in those days, I don't suppose they had the machinery to dig down and way down to the earth, a solid rock foundation, get a good sound foundation, to build the foundation of this tower on. After the rains and the storms, then after some time, the way, I guess it gave way and it fell. Well, after all, accidents happen to the best of all preventives in this world every day. That's right. I say that it just costs so many lives a day to operate this world. Well, it happens in many ways. So, these 18 people, they might have been walking around there. I don't know about it. And all. So when the tower fell, why, we just fell on them and hit them. Well, they could have been saved souls as well as unsaved souls. It didn't make any difference. If this building was to collapse here tonight, and all of us lost and saved would be lost and say, lose their lives and saved would be unsaved. Well, that's the same thing happened. So they said, how is these 18 worse than anybody else in Jerusalem? Well, they put little hard questions to the Lord about it. You don't put hard questions to the Lord. Oh, no, he's able to answer them. What did he do? He used the same answers for both questions. No, I say unto you, except ye, those that were talking to the Lord. He didn't pick out anybody else. He didn't say, except that fellow, or this woman, or that boy over yonder repent. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now come back to the word all again. That's all. And I'm going to ask the question, who is all? It includes me. It includes you. Have you repented? Have you repented? How? Well, if you don't repent, he tells you what the result of it is. Shall all likewise perish. Now, if you go and look up and see how many times that word perish, you'll be surprised. Now, I'm going to quote a verse, and I suppose these little boys and girls here can quote the same verse. You see that old man here, but he was with a clock up there, so I have to watch him on one end and not on the other. So I asked Bill tonight to pull the plug out on him so it's still on, all right. I don't know where he is on. So, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Same word as the dragon. Same word. Well, now, what does the word perish mean? Now, you look it up in Webster's Dictionary, it gives you four answers. It says to dwindle away, to dwell away, as many other answers. Yeah. Still didn't give me an answer to satisfy. I'll look it up another. Still didn't give me an answer to satisfy. No. Let me tell you what she's a married woman now. She's a little girl. Sitting on one of the benches down that room in a Sunday school one large day morning, I come a little early, and Brother George was having a Sunday school, and he said, John, you just take over and go ahead. Well, I never have been good with Sunday school. And so, they apparently had John 3:16 in the little paper. You know, we read them little papers. And so, they were talking about perishing. And I said to his granddaughter, Ellen, what does perish mean? He said, lost in the sea. Well, that's what perish really is. is lost in the sea of sin, banished from the presence of God for all time and eternity. Yes. All hope of ever recovering wiped out. Yes. Perish. You can go on and on for a definition for perish. And that's what the Lord says to them. Except you repent, you shall not part of you, not the worst ones of you. Oh no, not them that run down and all that. Oh no, you shall all perish. If I'd have just went up a little further in verse 22, and it says, there is no difference. That's the last part of Romans 3:22. God says, there is no difference. Now, me and you make a lot of difference. We make a difference in this, we make a difference in that. We have to be careful, don't make a difference in our own children, you know. Sure. Yeah. When I worked people years ago, and you're working a good bit of people, you have to be very careful not to make a difference. That'll cause more friction than anything you ever seen, is to make a difference. Why? Well, God has got people down here, and He made no difference in them. Because the next version that I read to you says, all have sinned. He's concluded you under sin, that He might have mercy upon all. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now, some people don't like you to call them a sinner. They don't like you to point out to them. Oh, no. I can stand here for about some time and tell you a remark that's been said to me about it. Just the other day, I was going through the gospel, got all fine looking young man, he's a big fella, and he was helping me fix the thing, and I got a little conversation with him, and he said, I said, well, have you finished high school? He looked like he was as old as he was, he was 21 years old. Oh, he said, yes, I finished high school and 2 years of college. I'm going on now and finish the other 2 years of college and then go around to be a dentist. Oh, you get fixed for life, ain't you? He said, yes, I sure am. So what about eternity? Yeah. He told me, he said, don't talk to me about that, Lord. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, you get God. He sinned just like all the rest. Yeah. God said, all have sinned, brother. Yeah. You got to stand before God when it's forever. But I'll stand with my sins washed away. How will you stand? All of us will stand before God. Every man must give an account of himself to God. That's right. That's right. That's a solemn thing. Remember, He's a holy and a righteous God. Sin won't stand before Him. Are you going to stand in your sins right of this one? Yeah. It's always fine. No more was said about that. Now we've got to find out what is repentance. We talked about perish. That was what He said, always said do. Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now we well know that repentance is not salvation. We still know there's no salvation without repentance. We know the battery in our car is not our car. You ain't got no car without the battery. Correct. Well, a bit of good news. So, you have to have it all. We'll now look at a few verses about repentance. Repentance. I'll just send a brother in here with us. I don't believe I'll ever forget it. I certainly enjoyed it. It spoke to us 2 years ago, or three, I forget now, at Lawrenceville. And he spoke to us about keeping the commandments, be saved. Oh boy, I thought you went to see. Sure did. I got through listening to that brother. Another brother come up to me and said, Brother John, are you keeping the commandments? I thought, sure am. I'm keeping them commandments. Yeah. Now that's just looking at me, so I thought I slipped the cog a little bit there.
But I'm no sure I'm pretty good.
I'm returning to Acts 17, verse 30. And we read there from that verse, and the time of the ignorant God winked at, now commandeth,
here's that word all again,
commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now he added another word to that all, isn't it? Everywhere. Where is everywhere? Well, it's right here, ain't it? He's speaking to you right in here tonight, if you're without the Lord.
Everywhere, ain't over down in Jerusalem,
over down in Turkey, where they're in that war and things, over down in South America, you know. That's it too. But right here, command for everywhere to remain. Now, God is a commander. No question about that. No question about that. What God has decreed takes place. I could go on with that. Trouble in our country here, we got a commander in chief of our army, the president. So it won't drown me, but we still got one. But, you know, during the Korean War, MacArthur, which one of the greatest generals the United States ever had, he won the Japanese war for us. They sent him over in Korea. And so one day, Harry Truman called him up and said, meet me over at Hawaii. He met him over at Hawaii. What did he do to him? Congratulate him? No, he fired him. He fired MacArthur. What for? Because he failed to obey the command of which he did. He lost everything. There it is. Done the same thing to both. Now, I was talking about a mere man. But what about God? He's the commander. But he don't overlook anything. Yeah. And he commands you to repent. Man, did you repent? Yeah. Now the other commandment, I'm going to ask, command men everywhere to believe, but I'm going to slip my mind. Where is it, brother?
1 John 3:23.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Now that's what this brother spoke on. I'm not trying to copy, but I just want to tell you I certainly enjoy it. And it impressed me as obeying what God has to say. 1 John 3:23. Let's keep repeating it. I'll forget it now. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God and love one another as he has commanded. Right. Well, now that's God's commandment. This is not a law. I'm not talking about the Mosaic law. Not at all.
Well, I thought the brother was on that place at all.
But, no. This is just as good now as it was when it was given. And it'll be good for all eternity. And to believe, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? God is commanding you. So, we'll turn over now. I have to watch that clock. You really watch it. Your brother had to say,
Well, I don't want to talk too long. I don't want to keep the young people from having a nice time over at your thing. heading the list, made it out, and I'm off the list, so I'm in bad shape. We'll never be there. I'm looking for Act 20, is what I'm looking for. It's still in the book. You folks just have to bear with me a little bit. Put you to sleep falsely a lot of times, they'll get you where you want. But I thank God I'm as well as I am, able to speak for him, and he still gives me the privilege to open my mouth for my blessed sake. I might be with him till morning, I don't know. Sure will. And all that know him is saved, all that has repented, all that has received, be that too. What a wonderful thing. Yes. He's no respect of person. Acts 20 and 21. I'm going to read verse 20. Now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, it's called often, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you tonight, it's not the Lord Jesus that we've sinned against. No, it isn't. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that paid the debt to God for my sins and yours. But it's God, a holy and a righteous God, that we have sinned against. And I read to you from his own precious word, it's all have sinned. So it ain't nobody can hold up their hand and say, you're not talking to me. So repentance towards God. Now that's a mistake that is even taught today all around us and all. All you have to do is receive Jesus as Savior. Right. That's right. But something comes before that. It comes repentance. That is, as to realize that you are a sinner. And I was talking to his brothers back here this afternoon. Dear old brother Ryan used to say this. And Satan will tell you you're a sinner. Satan will tell you you're a lost sinner. But Satan will never tell you you're a lost, helpless sinner. Right. And I want to say to you, I don't like to keep referring to my own troubles. But the Lord allowed me to get in a position of helplessness. I believe there was a time I couldn't have reached out and I got that glass of water to drink. I'll tell you now, you can know what a sinner is. That's right. Oh, yes. Helpless. Well, that's where you are tonight, sinner. If you don't know Jesus, there's absolutely nothing you can do to save yourself. Not a thing. God has provided a Savior. We sung that in that hymn. God has provided a Savior. And that Savior left the heights of glory, laid aside all he had with the Father, and come down into this scene here below, and was born in a meek and lowly way. We all know that. Yes. And then he grew up into manhood, and he went about into this scene for some 3 years or a little more, and doing good, as we're told. We all know about it. Opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, feeding the hunger, raising the dead, and healing the sick. Why, they just told them out to them on the couches and everything else. Street blows up. Yes. The Lord didn't turn. You don't have a record nowhere where the Lord turned any of them down. Good. He won't turn you down tonight either if you'll come to him. Make no difference of how far down in sin you went. He'll reach down and pick you up. Not only pick you up, but hold you. Hold you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wonderful thing. Yes. So, the Lord Jesus paid the price to God. An awful price. There's no way to express the price that he paid.
No one knows of the suffering, agony, and the misery of soul that he suffered during those 3 hours on that cross. What for? What for? For me and for you. Not for himself. Not for himself. Oh no. As we've often heard said to us, the nails in his hands and feet didn't hold him on that cross. That hymn we sung, the Lord held him on that cross. And that's what he's sending out to you today, the Lord. Oh yeah. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. What's he calling? Oh, sinner, come home. Come home. Come to him. And that invitation is going out tonight to you. So, it's repentance towards God. Now, we all know, I can't turn to it, or that little big paper, that where David, he sinned, and when he didn't say, God, I've sinned against you, right? What he did. But he said, oh God, I've sinned against thee. David knew he had to answer to God. I'll tell you right now, if you are still in your sin, if you still have not repented, turn to Christ, you've got to answer to God. Everybody answers to God, one time or another. Many of us in here, I just a while ago said, I answered to him over 40 years ago. Some can say, I answered to him over 60 years ago. But can you say I've answered it all? No, I mean that. Have you answered? That's the question. Have you answered it? Oh, I just lay in the bed sometime and rejoice over the fact that I stand before God without blemish and without spot. A wonderful thing it is to be saved. Nothing like being saved. Nothing like being ready to go when you're going. No one in this room can hold up his hand and say, I'm a going in 15 minutes or I'm going in 15 years. Right. The only person that ever lived with me knew when he was going and where he was going and who was he when he got there was the thief on the cross. The Lord told him that. Sure it is. So, it's faith, repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to come down to the question of what is repentance. Now, there are many answers instead of all ago to what repentance is. Well, I want to say to you, I think many of you will agree with it. I have given, in the past 30 years, an awful lot of thought to the gospel. I love the gospel. I'll say something to you, it's hard for me to believe, let alone you. I love to hear the gospel before I say. Yeah, to hear the gospel before I say. Well, and I've watched many things that's happened in my life that the Lord has allowed me to happen. They can be used as illustrations in the gospel. I think the Lord gives them to us. So I'm going to tell you about another illustration. I've got too much time, but I'll cut it as short as I possibly can. It's hard for me to cut these things short. My wife says, I take going too much detail. Well, I enjoy it, you know. When I was, years ago, I was in the rock crushing business. And we had got a big order in the rock crushing some base material to put down Shorter Avenue. We crushed the base material for Shorter Avenue in Rome, Georgia. Of course, it had to meet a state specification. It all had to pass an inch and a quarter screen. And that is, that's pretty fine. That's not very big. And we had a prime crusher that was a good size. But we had a re-crusher that was answering the job till we got on this, and we had to draw it down to fine. Till we overloaded our re-crusher. And of course, that was holding our production down.
And my brother Mitchell, he kept saying, we can't make no money this way. We got to get it. We got to have another. Because, you know, he wasn't getting up the money. I was having to get up the money. And all he wanted to do was equipment, because we was in business. So, I got to looking around, talking to machinery salesmen and different ones about it. So, a fellow told me about a fellow had one in Atlanta. I said, well, Mitchell, I'm going down to Atlanta and look at that curve. We got to have something other. We're just burning this and other. So I went down there and looked at it in the bank. It had one they'd repossessed, and they didn't repossess another when they got it. So it was worse than the one they had. So I called up a chairman. I said, that thing ain't no good over there. Do you know of anyone else? He said, yes, I'll tell you. The city of Tacor, that's where R.G. Letourneau had his thing, up the city of Tacor. Said, ain't got this exactly what you want. I was up there yesterday, the day before, John. Said, if you'll talk to the city manager, says, they want to sell it. He told me to see if I could get the phone from. And I said, well, he said, give me the phone number. And I just went to the phone man, called him up. I talked to the man, said, I remember a man named Mr. King. Told him who told me about it and all about it. And talked to him a few minutes and asked him what he wanted for it. Well, the price seemed fairly well. I said, well, I tell you what, I'll be up there in the morning about 10, 11 o'clock. Look at it. Said, I'll tell you now, I won't be here in the morning at 10, 11 o'clock. But I'm going to leave town in the morning. If I can, about 8 o'clock, be gone on 2 weeks vacation. Whoa, I won't do it. I got to have this thing. I'll be up there this evening, but I'll leave off at 5 o'clock. And then, I guess, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock at that time. I said, well, where do you live? I'll give you a phone number. He did. I said, when I get there, you get it all cleaned up and ready to go, I'll be up there. So he did. Well, I got in a little kennel coop. No will forget it. A little four-cellar Plymouth coop. That's been a long time ago. And I left like to throw all the oil out of to get up there. Well, I had to go from Atlanta up to Gainesville. Well, there wasn't no super highways or nothing back then, you know. Number 16 or 19 is what you had to go. When you got to Gainesville, you had to turn over to the right. Well, in the daytime, I've been this way all my life. I can go in a city and out of the cities I've been in. It don't bother me much in the daytime. It's sort of confusing at night. Well, it was in broad daylight. I went down a little way, and I just scooted on around through there and went on. I got down there to see him, and he done gone home. I called him up, and he met me down there. And we got our heads together and said, I made him an offer on the thing, but I'll call you up in the morning at 9 o'clock. He hadn't made an offer. I'd give him another offer, see. But anyway, and so then I got back in my car and started back home. Well, I stopped on the way. I guess someone got me a sandwich. I hadn't eaten until then. Well, I got back to Gainesville. It was dark. Well, when I come back into Gainesville, I had to catch the highway out again from Gainesville back to towards Atlanta, because I went down the road a piece, turned over right, went through Tate, through that away, back to Rome. Gainesville is just almost direct east of Rome, right straight across the map. But you can't go right straight across. And so I got going back, and it was finished time of the year like this. And I noticed as I was going on, it's a crowd of colored people just sort of wandering across the highway, sort of like sheep and things. And I thought, well, this ain't the way I come in here. This is wrong. I got to go towards Atlanta. So there's a great big colored fellow walking the road. I pulled right up to him. I said, Uncle, is this the highway to Atlanta? He said, yeah, I said, boss. But if you get to Atlanta, you have to turn around. You're going the wrong way. I went up the street a bit, turned around, went back. He said, now you're right, boss. Now you're right. But what did I do? Every man, woman, and child in this room or in this city or any place else is on the road way of life right tonight. Now, if you weren't on the road way of life, you'd be over here in the morgue of the cemetery of one. But there ain't no dead folks in here. There ain't. Now, the question is, which way are you going? Which way are you going? Are you going to God or from God? Now, I was talking to a brother not too long ago, and I was glad to get this information. And he was in a position to know.
And he said, every baby that's born into this world normally is born with his back up to you. And his face down.
Now, I don't know if somebody might correct that, but I'll have to stop right there.
And so, the question is, we are born going away from God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for the ungodly.
Christ never died for the godly. Never did. If you think you're good enough to go to heaven like you are, Christ didn't die for you. Oh, sure did.
So now the question is, which way you're going? Now that's what repentance is. I hadn't turned around and got down that road a mile till I just uttered a little prayer to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That sure is repentance. I went 25 years on the wrong way on the road. I was on the road of life,
sure,
for 25 years, but I was going the wrong way all the time. Now, which way are you going tonight? Which way are you going? Every one of us are going some which way. And there ain't but two ways. Not this year, but the year before last, I was up in Chicago. And Ernie Wake through and preached the gospel. I think it was on Sunday night.
I don't know which night it was. Ernie preached the gospel.
And he bore down so hard that everybody in this room right here is either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. And said there's no sidetracks down that way.
Sure is. Well, that's true.
Now that's solemn to say that. Look at a nice, fine young lady, a young gentleman, and him not saved, and her not saved, and say, and look to them, and they're on their way to hell. That's so sad to say that.
You would only know if God couldn't make a little allowance for that.
Oh, no. God never makes no allowance for that. Of course, he says, all are sinners. But God in his mercy, God in his mercy has provided a remedy, has provided a way, has provided something that you can be saved right now. The whole now is the day of salvation. There's no time like now in old justice. Now, when I first said now, it's done gone. It'll never be that no more.
But there's another now.
And we don't know. I don't know that I'll ever preach the gospel again.
You don't know if you'll ever hear it again. You sure don't. But you can be saved tonight. You sure can. God wants to save you.
And so, I'm going to close now. And much more I would like to say.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. When you begin to tell me, don't tell about the Lord Jesus. You just know him. And I want to tell you something else. I want you people that are praying, folks, and know about the work in the jail at Rome. For some reason, the Lord just blessed his answer. You go there, and those men are there, and got a lot of young boys in jail now. Oh, it's sad and simple to see. And you stand right there, because the brother has to talk loud tonight. So, you're up close to them, and you talk to them there for hours time, and they say, oh, don't quit talking. Talk on, brother.
Yeah, talk on.
I'll tell you, it makes you, it rejoices your heart in one way and sad in another.
It sure is.
Yeah.
But you turn the lights out.
So, well, we'll sing here ahead of him. Come ever slow by sinner breath. Number nine. And we won't sing all of that verse. Let's sing the first and the second and the last verse of it. Come ever so by sinner prayer, that mercy is the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you now. Someone's got that, someone's got to do it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.